Dr. Weiss, Ron Weiss, MD, one of my favorite people in the world. So I'm happy to have you here and join this summit on cardiovascular disease. I know you've had tremendous experience actually taking people and getting them and nursing them back to good health through nutritional medicine and lifestyle medicine. And I know it's one of the most rewarding things that you've felt in your career, right? Because I know, different from me, you've actually had a more conventional career and then this new career in the last, 15 years, 10 years in nutritional medicine, and you've able to really, compare both worlds, right? Could you tell me a little about that experience?
Absolutely. Well, the first part of my career as a physician, I started off as an emergency room doctor. Hmm. So I would, I worked very hard. I would work six 12-hour shifts a week, five of them from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. Not something good for the sleep. And, I was the only doctor in the emergency room. It was a very busy inner city emergency room. And I would be taking care of almost every night heart attacks that would come in and all kinds of traumas. But mostly the endpoints of chronic illness in America, right? I did that for a while and then decided there's got to be a better way. And maybe I could start to do something to prevent these people from coming into the emergency room. And so I opened because I'm trained in primary care, originally in internal medicine, I opened a beautiful full service, like primary care, multi-specialty emergency care center in Hudson County, New Jersey. Hmm. And we really did a good job at confronting people's illness up front and trying to reverse it. And that's when I first started to understand that food was critical in this regard, and that it was really necessary to attack people's diets and to help them with that in order to truly prevent all the metabolic diseases and hypertension and cardiovascular disease.
Right. And in the years I've known you, I'm sure that you've had, scores of people with diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, coronary artery disease, cardiomyopathy.
Absolutely.
That you've changed the trajectory of their life, right?
Yes, very much so. While I was in that setting in Hudson County, I began to realize the pull of the food system was so overwhelming that it was hard to detach people from these addictive, omnipresent forces that were always there. So I decided to, start all over again. And this time it would be from building a regenerative food system from the ground up for the community. And so I closed that practice and bought the farm. No pun intended. The farm, an organic 342-acre farm. Well, it wasn't organic at the time. We transformed it into an organic farm. Right. And I thought the best way to really help the community was to redo the food system. Yeah. And in that way, you could best address cardiovascular and other chronic disease.
I know what you're doing is utterly amazing. You're probably the only physician in America, maybe the only physician I know, that actually is a regenerative organic farmer with knowledge of the soil, the ecosystem, the bacteria, the microbiome, the insects, how to make the most healthiest food in the world, and how to protect our soils and our planet, and utilize that food to heal people and as a physician, and marrying those two together, this knowledge of your physician, your lifestyle medicine, nutritional knowledge with your perspective as an organic farmer. And it's very, very unique. And that makes you a very unique physician with incredible tools at your disposal,
Well, thank you for those kind words. I believe that there are deep connections between the soil and human health, and perhaps that there's no connection more profound than the microbiome of both the soil and the human gut, because they're connected. And I think we are, in the last decade or two decades, we've begun to understand in terms of human health, how critical the gut microbiome is in determining in a major way as to whether people will be chronically ill, whether it's from obesity, how much they will weigh, if they will get cardiovascular disease or diabetes. And ultimately, that gut microbiome that determines our health is connected to what we eat. And what we eat is connected to the soil microbiome. So when we first got here to the farm, my agenda was to not grow vegetables and fruits and food, but it was to grow a living soil, to grow organisms, to figure out how we can repair the microbiome of the soil. Because once we did that, the vegetables and the fruits and the grains and they would just come automatically.
It would explode. It would grow with new, with beautiful growth.
Yes.
That's what I find too. Once I get a great soil and I put a plant in that soil, it like, whoa, it takes off.
Right. Know? It knows what to do. And you know, I think that addresses a larger problem as to where we are with our food supply. You know, in all of my life, I've been involved with plants, growing plants since I was a child, and I got a botany degree in my from Rutgers, the Land Grant Institution in New Jersey. Wow. And you know, plants are dependent upon soil organisms in order to create secondary plant metabolites. So there are two levels of molecules or chemical constituents that plants make. One is the basic level, you know, like the carbohydrates and the proteins and the basic scaffolding of the plants, sugars, like from photosynthesis. And then you have an upper level of chemicals, and these are called phytonutrients. The plant creates these special and very expensive molecules in order to better survive and thrive in its environment. Because plants, you know, they can't, they don't have arms and legs. They can't run away from pests or enemies. They can't approach their partner and have sex with them. They've developed over millions and millions of years these molecules to do this work for them. And these molecules create the vivid colors, the pigments that attract pollinators, the aromas that do that too. The flavors that attract us to eat them, and also molecules that thwart off enemies, like pests that are chewing on the plants. And these are those secondary plant metabolites, these high-end molecules. In order to get high levels of them, the plant needs special relationships that are intact with special soil microorganisms, because these organisms fan out through the soil beyond the reach of the little root hairs of the plants and gather critical raw materials so the plant can then manufacture these. And when these soil organisms are there in a richly diverse soil, the plant makes extra amounts of these phytonutrients. And then guess what? The food is more brilliantly colored. It is more, it has a greater aroma, more beautiful taste. And these bioflavonoids or polyphenols have been demonstrated to better prevent cardiovascular disease.
That's right.
So there was a
protect the brain from dementia and to protect against cancer too.
Absolutely, do many things because you know, I know this webinar that you were doing or this summit is on cardiovascular disease, but mm-hmm. there was a few years ago there was an interesting article in the British Medical Journal's Heart Journal that demonstrated that subjects, hypertensive subjects who were fed high polyphenol diets, and when we say high, it just involved maybe an extra few servings of fruits and vegetables a day, some dark chocolate, that they had significantly increased cardiovascular responses in plethysmography, which is the, you know, a test that measures the health of arteries in our body.
Well, I have to, well, comment and a question. One comment, I feel that I've felt what you're talking about personally. I feel it's the enrichment in the personal soul in our relationship with the soil and the world around us, and that growing our own food and enriching soil with natural organisms and compost and doing all this to, and you watching the fruits of your labor with your hands in the dirt and eating the fruits of your labor, eating vegetables and things from and from trees that you've done, taken care of yourself, is somewhat peaceful and puts you in relationship with the natural world. And even hunting for parsley in the woods and eating that, even wild foods too, in some way is good for the soul. So I know we relate in that respect, and I'm trying to emulate you to a degree in serving and growing one of my own great foods here at my retreat. But I just want to say also that we're both interested in this concept that the better quality food, right? And the better nutritional quality, micronutrients, phytochemicals, antioxidants in your diet, the better quality individual health and the more and the better reversal of disease we get. And it's not just any plant-based diet that we're giving people. We're not giving them a diet all of rice or all of, we're giving a diet with good variety and a huge fun and giving the high nutrient foods and picking out the best quality foods. So I know you've done a lot of work in this field too. So
absolutely.
So we have to pay attention to the quality and even the way the food is grown, right?
We do. And this harkens back to your, great formula, right? Which is health equals nutrients divided by calories,
right?
Correct? So those nutrients that you're talking about, I mean, yes, you know, they can be macronutrients, they're important, but the scale at which you're talking about, and I think at this level where we're really trying to get to the upper reaches of a plant-based diet, they're focused on high levels of those secondary plant metabolites, the phytonutrients. They are very much dependent upon the growing methods. It's not good enough that you just grow anything in any clay or sand or spray pesticides on it or agricultural chemicals, which tend to kill that life in the soil you're talking about. And I think that's why you sound, what you say is so poignant, going through the woods and gathering purslane from wild places, because these places tend to be undisturbed by, humans, chemicals, and they probably do have a good living soil underneath. I just wanted to, this reminds me of a little experiment that my Rosie, my daughter, who's now 15 years old, did when she was 12 years old in the sixth grade. And what we did was, she won a second prize, by the way, in her school science competition for this. What we did was we took soil from our farm from a completely untilled area. So we have a 300-year-old farm, which has been farmed for three centuries, but this area we took it from was a pasture. It had never been tilled. Ground had never been broken. I took this soil with Rosie. We put it in flats, and we had an experimental arm and a control arm. And what we did for Rosie's science experiment is we took all the same soil, we put it in two flats. One flat was treated with one spray of a pyrethrin insecticide, one with an herbicide, and one spray of a fungicide in each cell. The other flat was a control. Nothing was done. It only had this rich organic soil. Both started with the same rich organic soil. We then planted radish seeds, a radish seed in each cell. And we chose radishes because, they have a 28-day life to harvest. So we grew them inside under controlled conditions, under grow lights in our apartment. We then harvested them and sent them for total polyphenol content. When we pulled up these radishes, we saw that there was a difference in the color red. The control group, which hadn't been treated with the biocides, was a deeper red than the treatment arm with the agricultural chemicals. And when we tested the polyphenol levels, the control group, which had not been treated, at 50% more polyphenols, that red color in the radish, which goes, I think, to support what we're saying, that growing things in a natural way when you have soil organisms and soil life presence helps to increase the nutritive value of your food.
Yeah, so the American diet with the processed foods and animal products people are eating, people are ubiquitously so micronutrient, phytochemical, and antioxidant deficient. It's amazing they even survive as long as they do, but we understand why people develop stiff blood vessels and abnormal cells and build up a metabolic waste and premature aging and all these chronic diseases. It's almost every disease is exacerbated by these ubiquitous nutritional deficiencies from what they're choosing to eat. And then they got to choose the right foods and then get rid of the wrong foods and then look at the best quality they can get their hands on. So you're of course, for people all over the country, you're advocating people choose organic and if possible, even regenerative organic agriculture and growing some of their own food. So Dr. Weiss, what you're saying here is that paying attention to nutritional quality, even when we're moving or trying to have nutritional excellence and get rid of all the low nutrient processed foods and all the low nutrient animal products, what I'm saying right now is both animal products and processed foods do not contain a significant nutrient load. They're not rich in antioxidants and phytochemicals like colorful plants are. Colorful plants are the secret healers, the magic healers. But what you're saying, we should be going after trying to heal disease. We should try to get the best quality even of the plants. And that should be, maybe people all over the country should be in increasing their healing by using organic agriculture, organic and even regenerative organic agriculture.
Right? Absolutely. And there are many things to unpackage in what you've said. All of our mothers told us to eat our vegetables and fruits, right? Whose mother hasn't said that? We know that those foods are healthy for you, but it's not just eating vegetables or fruits. And I absolutely, that if you have a diet of conventionally grown vegetables and fruits that come with a side of poison, like pesticides on them, it is preferable to eating that over a standard American diet of, you know, processed chips and chicken and other kinds of foods. However, the data is beginning to show us that it is much more preferable, and you can do much better by having higher levels of those plant foods that are created, as I mentioned before, so that they have higher bioflavonoid or higher phytonutrient levels, those which help to reverse and prevent cardiovascular disease. And now we're finding out that the pesticides that are used to grow conventional produce themselves can cause increased rates of cardiovascular disease. Right. For example, there was a study in JAMA, Internal Medicine, that was published about 2 years ago or so, that showed that pyrethroids, which are a major class of insecticide now that has generally replaced the organophosphates, which are a very dangerous form of pesticide that was previously used on produce, which causes a lot of neurodegenerative diseases and autism. Yeah. When they studied patients who had, and this comes from NHANES, the National Dietary Survey study, that when they studied the people who had the most of this pyrethroid pesticide residue in their blood, they had significantly elevated rates of cardiovascular disease versus the people who had the lowest rates, as well as all-cause mortality. So we're beginning to learn that these pesticides that come in conventional grown food are harmful to, and they do create, you know, cardiovascular events. They do create cancer. They do create neurodegenerative diseases. So we need to move away from those. And if you want to talk about it in a little bit, we can also talk about how they destroy our substrate. So those chemicals are also very deleterious to our planet's health and in many different ways.
But, right. Let's get into that in a minute. But just to help the listener, because a lot of people get conventional produce, organic produce, hydroponic, different types of. So your feeling is that in the stepping stone of what's, you know, the best versus acceptable or not, what, you know, how should, are hydroponics okay or organics better, but then regenerative organic is the best and growing your own food. And if they are growing their own food, what kind of advice could you give them for even putting a garden in their backyard?
Right.
How to make the best soil and some of the food they're raising to supplant their diet, you know, or whether they should be growing sprouts in their house too.
Exactly.
Like that.
Well, I think we would have to define, very briefly define what we mean by these different methods. So in conventional agriculture, you're growing, there are no real boundaries or rules for growing things. You can do whatever you want pretty much and apply whatever chemicals you need to in order to get a crop. And, you know, most conventional food is grown with dangerous chemicals, which humans have to protect themselves from with barriers and face masks in order to apply them. So they're dangerous to us. These chemicals also create very poor soil conditions. So the plants grown from them have very low nutritive value. And this has been shown over a century by data from the USDA. Then the next up, we have, I guess you can say organic certified vegetables that is certified by the USDA subunit for organic agriculture. That's better in that the numbers of chemicals that are applied to the agricultural setting are very limited and very restricted. However, the problem is that the organic certification for those foods doesn't tell you what the health of the soil is. So in other words, I could take completely inert soil, which has no life in it, and as long as I didn't apply pesticides or the ones that were regulated by the organic certification, I could be organically certified. You know, it could grow in sand, and I could put some water and artificial fertilizers in it. I can get fruits and vegetables. I can sell them as organic. So the problem with the organic certification is it doesn't guarantee you that the foods came from a living in a good soil. And some dangerous some dangerous chemicals can be used. Like, for example, we eat apples that come from the Pacific Northwest. Most of the country does. And a lot of those can be sprayed with tetracycline, which is an antibiotic, which is generally liberated into the orchard. That's not good. And pyrethrins, which is a direct extract from chrysanthemum flowers, which is it's an organically certified pesticide, but it's not, you know, it's not healthy for human beings. Then we go to regenerative methods. Regenerative methods basically concentrate on what I said in the beginning. They concentrate on building soil health. And in order to build soil health, you have to pay attention to what is going on there. Like you said in the beginning, there are compost amendments. You're making sure there's a lot of organic matter, and you're focusing on microbial life in the soil. And when you do that, that ensures high levels of nutrients in the plants. Then you have some other categories, like you have hydroponic produced vegetables and fruits. That's sort of a new area, much to the chagrin of us organic and regenerative farmers. That has been approved for organic certification, but most traditional organic farmers do not agree with that. And the reason why is because the plant has lost its relationship, evolved a relationship over millions of years with soil. And like I told you in the beginning, in order for the plant to grow these beautiful, rich things that we eat, you need a workforce in the soil of bacteria assembling nutrients for the plant, and it doesn't exist. So we don't have a lot of data or studies on the nutrient content of those plants, but I would intuitively think that it's much lower than produce grown in a regenerative soil. Okay.
For sure. And I think that there's so many nutrients that we haven't measured or even named yet, that plants
tens of thousands
have thousands of nutrients in them. And to get the full variety of nutrients, that gives us this unprecedented opportunity to live longer and to reverse disease when we get all these micronutrients that are thousands of them in these
tens of thousands.
Yeah.
We think now maybe up to 100,000 different molecules. Maybe we've identified 5,000 or 7,000 of them, but
right,
the majority we're not even aware of. The last thing I just wanted to mention, because you brought it up, was the sprouting. So
yes,
that's not hydroponic. Okay, that does need a water source in order to sprout the seed. But the reason why we recommend that as a soil-less way to produce food is because the nutrients you are getting when you eat sprouted foods are coming from the seed itself. Mother Nature, in its spectacular design, has designed seeds to have a package of dense nutrients in them. And that's why you recommend eating seeds and nuts, right? They're seeds and grains, and because those kernels, the seeds, are packed with nutrients. And then because when the seed is first sprouting, it doesn't have access to soil organisms. It doesn't have any roots. So we need that package to fuel all the growth of that new vegetative growth. And that's coming from the seed. So that's why when you take, if you measure the nutrient content of an unsprouted seed versus the nutrient content of the sprout, it can be many times the sprout, the nutrient content of the unsprouted seed. So that is a good way to get nutrients, by sprouting in clean water seeds.
What about microgreens?
Yes, it also a good way, because those microgreens really, they still, you know, they haven't been alive very long, and they still have a lot of the nutrients that they were born with from that sprouted seed.
Right. So we're saying that these young plants, these young seeds, these young microgreens make a nice addition to the general salad and food by having some concentrated nutrients.
Absolutely. But then as the plant grows, you know, it has to support itself.
It loses
its umbilical cord, right,
yeah,
to the seed, and it needs to grow itself. And that's done through roots. So you need that relationship with rich soil, live soil, and it can't be anything else.
Right. It's almost like what I'm saying, our relationship is that when we include seeds and nuts and greens and mushrooms and onions, we have variety in your diet, including the lignans and sterols and stanols and fats and seeds and nuts. It works symbiotically with the nutrients from the vegetables, because now we're not only broadening our exposure, but we're absorbing the phytonutrients and antioxidants in the vegetables more, because we consume seeds and nuts in the same meal and the fat facilitates the absorption. It's the same thing. We're going after this complex interrelationship that extends human life, that increases health and extends human lifespan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's why we always recommend that our patients, if you want to reverse that coronary artery disease the best, if you want to get those higher levels of phytonutrients and the carotenoids in your bloodstream, that you do combine the beautiful greens that you're eating with some healthy fats from the seeds and nuts.
Right, exactly. So tell us about, this is a really great conversation. So now transition a little bit, if you can, just for a couple of minutes, into your lifestyle medicine practice and the patients you've seen over the last decade and the transformational results you've had using the methods we've just discussed,
Well, I think if you go to our website, which is ethosprimarycare.com, we have testimonies up of people and what they've accomplished. And I have to say that the reason why, although this is very difficult, it's difficult enough being a doctor and doing this, especially, this is kind of the frontier lifestyle medicine. It hasn't been exactly figured out, as far as systems approach are concerned, not the way to treat patients, but, as far as a professional career is concerned. But it's not only is that going on, but it's the farming that's going on as well, which is also very difficult. But when you combine the two together, I mean, we have amazing results. I mean, we are able to reverse people's diabetes. We are able to have them lose, huge amounts of weight, get them off all of their medications. We have something which is called the a 30-day program, which is called the 30-day detox, which we will be presenting our data at the American College of Lifestyle Medicine at the annual convention this November. We were selected for a poster presentation where we demonstrate that within 30 days, 75% of all medications are removed, including blood pressure medicines, diabetes medicines, statin agents, cholesterol agents, and there's tremendous improvements in people's health. Weight metrics, cholesterol metrics, sugar metrics, it's just very fulfilling to do.
Yes, very fulfilling. For us physicians, we love to see the people get well because it brings joy to our life. And I think that this connectedness with nature and the quality of the food and the magic healing powers of the food, it does something for the soul of the patient as well. They're not in prison having to eat healthy food and give up all their illicit love affair with junk. They're actually intellectually and emotionally connected to the food now. And we show them how to make it taste great, but they also have an ability to have like optimism, confidence, the brain fog lifts,
and
gratitude for the beauty and their connectedness with nature that fuels into their healing.
I can't agree with you more. And that's why we placed Ethos Primary Care in the middle of the growing fields. I wanted patients as they were driving onto this ancient farm to be surrounded by their medicines. It's inspirational as they're driving in through here to go past the farm market where they meet the people who labor day in and day out to give them these beautiful things. It's meaningful. When you see what kind of effort this took to give this to you, and then you taste the difference in vibrant flavors, aromas, you can see the difference in colors. The food is so fresh that it stays 2 to 3 times longer at home. You save money because it's not being wilted. It's inspirational to read it, eat it. And then when you do that with every bite, as those flavors are making their way through your upper airways and your sinuses and your nose, you can feel that there is a connection, as you said, to the natural world, which is in trouble these days. And I think it gives our people who eat these medicines a special deep understanding of where their health is coming from.
Yeah, it's really great. And so I know we can talk forever about this, but before we close, I just hoping that, can you give some constructive advice for people living throughout the country a good place to start of what they could do in their own environment, in their own home, to improve the quality of their diet with a few, or even to start to work on their soil, or just give a
absolutely I can.
Take home message here.
Absolutely. I can do that. And, you know, I just want to say that, often when I talk or when I speak at different events, someone usually gets up and stands up in the audience and says, but organic food is too expensive, or you have to pay more for it than conventional produce.
Right.
And my response to that is that conventional produce is the most expensive food ever created in the history of the world. And it's because in order to get it to us, we're wiping out our planet. The cost of that, we are sheltered from in eating it today, but our grandchildren, our children, and future generations will pay that bill. So keeping that in mind, I have some very practical ways in which, we can get access to and feed ourselves beautiful, high-level, nutritious vegetables without chemical pesticides and agricultural chemicals. Number one, do it yourself. So during World War II, there was this concept of victory gardens because we were very low on resources and, there were a lot of men who went off to war and women as well. And a lot of the industrial, output had to be put towards the war effort. The federal government had a program at encouraging what were called victory gardens. And this ran for about a few years. In the last year of this program, just growing food in your backyard, produced 40% of all the produce consumed in the United States.
Wow.
That was from home gardens in, I believe it was 1944. 40%. This was not produced by farmers. It was produced by individuals in their backyards. It just goes to show you how much food you can produce in a small space in your own backyard. So there are all, if you don't know anything about gardening, Elliot Coleman has written the Bible of growing foods regeneratively. He has an organic growers handbook that you can buy, and you can get started with that next season. What else can we do? If you're not going to grow food, what you can do is you can, and by the way, if you live in an apartment or you live in an urban setting, there are always community gardens somewhere around where you can get access to a lot, or usually there is, where you can get at a low cost or no cost ground to grow on.
They can still sprout and use a grow box too in their garden.
You can grow those sprouts that we talked about on your windowsill, broccoli sprouts. What else can we do? Now even in urban areas, there are farmers markets all over the place. And you should go into a farmer's market and identify an organic regenerative farmer. Ask the farmer what their methods are. Farmers who are growing foods well are proud of what they do. They'll even invite you to see what they're doing. And you can walk onto their farm and make sure that they're doing things as you'd like them to be done, and they're growing good food. SNAP benefits, because your finances need to be supported from the food perspective. There are in many places double bucks back of food benefits where you can get double your amount of money. A value on the card, on your benefits card, if you buy produce. And so you can do that at a farmer's market as well. So those are some helpful hints as to how we can try to choose produce that's healthier for us and healthier for our planet.
Well, thanks so much. We unfortunately have to end, but obviously We are what we eat, and we can, and we become in our later life what we ate in our earlier life. And the later life, looking back, is seeing, well, did you take care of me when I was younger? Were you caring for me by the quality of foods you put in your body? And it's all right. So now we're motivating people to make these better choices. And you, Ron, of course, are a tremendous motivator, educator, and role model for doctors, farmers, and for people trying to get well. So really appreciate your work. And for you, my utmost support and admiration.
Thank you so much, Joel. Well, as you know, I stand on, you are a pioneer. You're one of the great pioneers in lifestyle medicine and the plant-based world, and I stand on your shoulders. I wouldn't be here if it were not for people like you. So I credit a lot of what I've done to the foundation that you've laid. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, all right, good luck, everybody. Be well and get well, and see you again soon. All right, thanks, Ron.